This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Forbes and from BobMcGinnFootball.com, he is Rob Reichel. Rob, thanks for coming on, man.
Long time no talk. How's everybody doing?
We'd be here every day. I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, we are here every day. But hey, Rob, tell me this. You've got a series going right now over at Forbes concerning the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I do. I'm kind of in the midst of getting people fired up for training camp or doing my best spark. And I'm doing a 30 for 30, kind of a spinoff of ESPN's really good series. The one good thing you still find on ESPN, and counting down the top 30, your most important 30 Packers heading into training camp, and people can jump on Forbes and find that. And I think we're up to about number 13 or 12.
Yep, 13.
Right now, Spark. Yeah.
Yep.
We've been going one a day for, two and a half weeks here and just trying to line it up. It'll end, the Wednesday before training camp starts on Thursday, the 25th, and just getting people ready and fired up for the start of camp.
What's the reaction been like to all of this? Are you feeling like there's some Packer energy brewing for this season yet?
I'm not, Sparky. That's a great question. It doesn't feel, and it certainly didn't through OTAs and minicamps either, even over in Green Bay, guys. It just doesn't quite feel like it did, in your time, Leroy, in the mid to late 90s, in the late O's and in the early part of this decade, when they were getting really good again under Rodgers and winning a Super Bowl like they did in 2010, and then those the middle years of the McCarthy era. I don't know, guys. I don't know if it's the back-to-back losing seasons, which they hadn't had in forever. You're talking 13, 18, and one. This group is over the last 2 years and. And even a 6-9-1 season with Rodgers, I think there's a little bit of an excitement spark because of what happened in free agency. But compared to a lot of other years in Green Bay, I'm just not feeling it quite to the same level. I think people are kind of taking a wait and see approach. There's a little more cynicism and skepticism, and honestly, Spark, I don't know if it has to do with the Bucks or the Brewers having been so good too in the last season or two. I think some of the spotlight has come off of Green Bay, and it's shining now over in Milwaukee, and Green Bay's got to find a way to get that back.
No, you're right. There's just no juice. I mean, there's no juice there at all, and it's just there is some uncertainty. You just don't know what the offense is going to be like. Defensively, you just don't know. You don't know how all this is going to work out. So yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do with the Brewers or the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we're just in uncharted territories. I mean, if you even look at the rosters, there's a lot of guys in this roster that you don't really even know or have gotten to know yet. It's just so much newness, which you think would create some excitement, but all the newness does not even create. Now, I've got my buddy Steve Sparky Pfeiffer saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP this year. I mean, and I'm saying like
13-3.
I don't even know how you even can say that when all we've heard is we don't even know if he's going to like the offense or not.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with Sparky on that bet. I'll say that right now. With a quarterback set to turn 36 this season and coming.
Well, tell him why, Steve. Tell him why.
His worst year as a starter. I get all the attributes Aaron Rodgers has shown you through the years, but
no, none of it. That has nothing to do with it.
That has nothing to do with anything. Hold on.
I believe if Baby Tosh claims he's going to get T-shirts made, I believe this is the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. That's what this is. This is going to be the year where it's going to be kind of like Michael Jordan chip on his shoulder or Kobe Bryant. God. And it's going to be the revenge tour to shut everybody up about how he's not playing well. And without McCarthy, he won't be the same. All this other stuff. It's going to be him on a mission to prove everybody wrong this year.
Spark, if he was 26 or 28 or even 30, I might jump on board with you there. But he's pushing 36. He's 24, 24, and 1. in his last 49 starts. You may turn out to be prophetic and an absolute genius right. with this, but I wouldn't throw $10 on that bet. I'll tell you that.
And prophetic is right. I mean, if you just a normal person, if you just look at the offense, if you just hear the kind of chatter that's coming out, there's just a lot of uncertainty there. I mean, Aaron Jones, what is he? I don't know if we know.
Well, Gary, I think what you're going to find here with this new coaching staff and with Matt LaFleur specifically, you know, if you look at his last two stops, 2017, where he was the non-play-calling offensive coordinator sure. with the Rams, and then last year, 2018, when he called the plays as the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, they were very run-heavy. They were 51% run last right. year in Tennessee. They were 47% run in 2017 when he was with the Rams. Guys, they were 30% run last year with Mike McCarthy. Yeah. I mean, they were 7 out of 10. Now, again, none of us fully know how many of those plays Aaron Rodgers changed at the line of scrimmage. If Mike McCarthy wanted that, you know, to be more like 55 or 60% pass and maybe 40% run, and Aaron Rodgers changed 10, 15% of the plays. None of us will ever know that exact number, guys. But clearly, Matt LaFleur is going to place a far heavier emphasis on the run game than Mike McCarthy ever did. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers, guys, is going to have quite the freedom and flexibility at the line of scrimmage to go ahead and change things up and change plays the way he did under Mike McCarthy. And if he tries to do that, there could be, you know, maybe some.
That's not going to go over well. That's not going to go over well, Rob.
He doesn't want to butt heads right away with a first-year head coach who's, you know, who's going to be given a little bit more power. Mike McCarthy was stripped of a lot of his power by the end there because he knew the quarterback was far more valuable. Matt LaFleur has just walked in the door, and they're not going to neuter him right out of the chute, guys. So I think the run game, guys, could be a top 10 run game, and they were only a top 10 run game, guys, once in Mike McCarthy's 13 seasons. So I do look for the run game to be strong. Spark, I'm not sure exactly what you're going to get at this point out of Rodgers. I don't think you get 2011 or 2014 Aaron Rodgers now.
Stud, that's what you're going to get. Talking with Rob Reichel from Forbes.com, RobBobAgainFootball.com.
Hey, Bob, I'm not Bob.
You okay? You're all right, Doug?
Well, Rob and you're Bob is
Bob Again Football, yeah.
Bob, I mean, you know.
See, we only did a book together, Leroy. One of these years you'll
I know, learn. Right? And you did a very good job.
That was a great book. Yeah, by the way, it's a great book.
Yeah, I just read it in the bathroom the other day. You know, here's the perception that I have.
Just perception.
When you have a new coach coming in, I think sometimes there's a lot of unknowns. But I think the positive thing about it is you get the bump of having the bounce of something new, because last few years just was so – just a lot of turmoil. And I think that's the reason why these guys are going to be excited. They're going to catch a lot of teams by surprise. But my question is, do you think they will have enough – well, I'm not going to say guts, but to start a rookie Savage at safety – or they're going to just go back to the same old, you know, kind of just get some of the veterans in and out of there? Because that'll make your defense faster. And if that's the case, now you can really get after the quarterback.
Leroy, I wish you would have been over it at minicamps. And again, the pads weren't on, and a lot will be discovered and learned once these guys strap them on and then actually play meaningful games. But Savage was so dynamic and so outstanding throughout the course of the spring with just understanding things, reading plays, jumping balls. It really looked like a fourth or fifth year Nick Collins at times. It looked like a young Leroy Butler, honestly, back there. And this guy runs a 4.36. His ball skills are terrific. You know, so if you're talking specifically, Leroy, about Savage, he's going to start from day one. And my honestly, if I had to guess, he's going to be an 8 to 10 year guy on this roster. They're not going to take him out of the lineup at any point in time. They're not going to take him off the field. Davante Adams had some really telling comments about him, saying they got to, you know, they absolutely got to steal at pick number 21. And I just think, guys, he's going to be somebody that they're going to throw back there for the better part of a decade, and you can just absolutely count on. He's mature beyond his years. He's smart. Tremont Williams has raved about him over and over. That, guys, on a whole, I don't see any reason that defense can't be top 10 or 12, which they haven't been in a long time. With what they invested, guys, in free agency, and then the draft capital using two first-round draft picks, on defensive players. Really, the expectation should be that that's a top 10 defense with everything, with all the investments they have put into that over the last number of years. Now in the second year of Petten's scheme, I think there's enough talent on that side of the ball where they could almost become a defensive outfit first.
I'm very distracted because the Pirates just hit a three-run homer to tie the Cubs at 3-3 right now in the eighth. Very, very excited about that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Melvin Gordon, Rob. He obviously and his agent telling the Chargers that, look, pay me my money or trade me one way or the other. We talked about it on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday about would you want Melvin Gordon on the Packers, and if so, what would you be willing to give up? And I caught some flack because I said, I don't care what it is. Outside of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and Bakhtiari or whatever, do whatever you want. Give him a one and Aaron Jones. Give him a couple ones and Aaron Jones. Doesn't really matter. I want Melvin Gordon. You're going to be rid of Bulaga's contract after this year. You're going to be rid of Mike Daniels' contract after this year. You can make it work financially.
Oh, they absolutely could. And they have the cap room even, you know, to do it now with those other salaries on the book. But Spark, I'm telling you, I think Aaron Jones is going to be in the top five in the league in terms of rushing yards. I think he's 1,300-1,400-yard running back
this
year with 10 to 12 touchdowns. And,
Gary,
and I'm a huge Melvin Gordon guy myself, Spark. But I don't think Green Bay has a need right now. They still have some needs. I mean, we don't know who the number two receiver is. We don't know if any of these tight ends are going to produce. We don't know if Jimmy Graham produces the way he did or the rookie can come in and do a whole lot. There's, you know, we don't know exactly what that offensive line is going to be. But if you're starting to list the Green Bay's list of needs and questions at this point in time, I don't think the running game is going to be whatsoever.
Jamal Williams ain't going to play at all.
You know, that's a meat potatoes, 4 yards carry kind of
potatoes.
Guy who never puts the ball on the ground. Yeah. I mean, they've got a little bit of depth now with the Notre Dame kid, Dexter Williams. But I think Aaron Jones is the breakout player of the year in the NFL, guys.
I think he's
13, 14. He took his body fat in half, guys.
Right.
Man, he's going to get broke all that.
Miles put a smile on my face on
Aaron Jones like that.
But this is the same thing that Rob poo-pooed you on with Aaron Rodgers, because right now Aaron Jones hadn't shown us anything that he could play 16 games. Oh, this joker is smaller than Vince Workman and gonna get broke all up. Now this all Rob is saying, he is just hoping that this happens. You can put your money on if you want to, but Rob is hoping that this is happening. Same thing that you saying Rodgers is going to be MVP. You're hoping
that Melvin Gordon can play 16 games.
Aaron Jones had that. Two years, how many games has he played in 2 years? I don't know.
And Melvin Gordon's in the same boat.
Melvin Gordon's got a long for track record.
Yeah, I know we got a guess, right?
Is Rob still there?
I'm gonna just let you guys take the show back over.
No, I love that. Hey, Rob, real quick though, I want to know about the backup quarterback situation. Coach Gary introduced me to one of my favorite players up there at the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation golf tournament. Big Tim Boyle.
Leroy, here's your boy over here.
But we read something that Kaiser said. That he said he think of himself as
a starter.
A Super Bowl MVP type, that he don't look at himself as a backup. I mean, have you heard anything? How's he picking up the new offense?
All I'll tell you, Leroy, is in the spring and through the course of OTAs and minicamp, he looked like about an eighth string quarterback, not a second. It was bad. It was ugly. He was spraying balls all around the field. It was not pretty, guys. And I don't know what Matt LaFleur deep down thinks of him. I don't know what Brian Gutekunst thinks of him. My best guess, guys, right now, honestly, is the only thing that saves Deshaun Kizer is Brian Gutekunst wants to save face from the Demaryius Randall trade. Randall's already starting to talk extension with the Browns. Gutekunst has already lost that trade. The question becomes, how long do you want to hold on to that losing chip you got back in return? I don't think that's the long-term answer. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 0-15 as a starter. I think his favorite target last year was Khalil Mack. It was bad football, and it doesn't look any better right now, guys. Some guys just have it, some guys don't. My gut feeling is Kizer just simply doesn't have it, and Boyle might just come and win that job
by default,
or they're going to get halfway through camp, guys, and realize they need a veteran.
Yeah, and that's why I've said all along. They need a veteran.
Yeah, they need a veteran.
They needed a veteran 5 years ago.
Well, they could bring Kaepernick in here.
I'm not sure that would fly in Green Bay, Leroy.
No, it won't, but I want one. I will think that there's two guys out there at safety, though, that they can always, you know, Trey Boston, I really like him. He's sitting there. Eric Berry, he's still sitting there, but he's, you know, he was probably a little banged up. A lot of injuries are going to come, so I just think the safety position has to be upgraded, you know, with Savage. And you have to understand that, you know, Kevin King has to stay healthy. That guy's amazing when he's healthy. So the secondary does worry me if for some reason you can't bring a lot of depth in there. Do you think they have enough? We mentioned the cap. Do they have any more, you know, these one-year deals, like the remember the Muhammad Wilkerson-type deals, the one-year, $3, $4 million to get some of these veterans in here towards training camp in the next week or two?
Yeah, the problem with that, Leroy, is a lot of those second- and third-tier free agents are signed in, you know, after the draft and then into May and stuff. You don't have as many floating around. I'll be honest, I think they're fine in the secondary in terms of their depth and in the defensive backfield. There's nothing that says these guys have to trade Josh Jones just because he's unhappy. And, you know, if you go into the season where your safeties are Amos and Savage and then Jones and Tremont Williams can kind of flip-flop, I don't think you've got terrible depth there. They seem to like Raven Green more than a lot of people do. You hit the nail on the head, though, Leroy, in terms of the cornerback position. I mean, Kevin King has finished 9 football games, guys, in his first 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. He's finished 9 out of 32 games.
It sounds like Aaron Jones to me.
Well, Aaron Jones, I think, has been available for 25 or something like that, Geary. I know his last 2 seasons,
Geary.
He's finished on IR with the knee things, but it's not even close apples to apples when you're looking at King versus Jones right now. I mean, Kevin King right now is going to go down as a major bust and disappointment if it continues to trend that way, especially when you factor in that Green Bay traded back and could have had T.J. Watt, and that's going to drive people around here for a long, long time, guys.
I like Michael Crabtree. If he's in great shape, I'd like to bring him in as another veteran wide receiver to compete with some of these young guys. What do you think about that?
I think they do need a veteran to come in and compete, Leroy, but they do have a couple of guys, I think, who are ready to take that next step.
Jamaro Ellison?
The number one guy, I think, is Valdes-Scantling, where I think the offense really does cater to him. He's a 4-3-7 guy. They're going to line him up outside and give him a lot more chances, I think, than he had last year. He was still, Leroy, sixth among all rookies last year in terms of total catches and receiving yards, which is a pretty good number. And if he can build on that, you know, maybe you're talking 60 catches, 900 yards. The bottom line, though, whether that's Kumro or Allison or Valdes-Scantling or St. Brown, they need one of those guys to take a little bit of pressure off Devontae Adams, because Devontae Adams probably isn't going to have 111 catches again this year.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's go back to the defense side of football. The two Smith guys that they got, what do you see out of them? I mean, it feels like they may be ascending players, but I don't see any hair on fire type guy that we had before in 52. And then the guy that you took, Rashad Garrett, you took in the first round, I don't know if he's a fast twitcher.
I think the guy with the greatest upside, at least out of the free agency, and we'll see on Gary, but the guy with the greatest upside is Za'Darius Smith. You hit the nail again, Gary. The key word there is ascending, and he is an ascending player. You're talking about a JUCO kid who went to Kentucky and had a slow start in Baltimore and has just risen his career ever since. And they're going to rush him from inside a lot, guys. He'll bounce on the outside. Preston Smith is just more consistent and steady, and I think he's not a guy who's going to make nearly as many flash plays, but he's going to do the right thing, and he's going to be a guy you know you can count on and rely on. I don't think Preston Smith has ever missed a football game, guys. Rashawn Gary to me is the boom or bust player there. I honestly, guys, I like both of those free agent outside linebackers that they signed, because they couldn't go back to Matthews and Perry again. They've tried that for enough years, and it was trending downward in a big way. Rashawn Gary's a total boom or bust. I didn't like the pick at the time. I think it's going to turn out to be a bust, guys. That would be That would be my opinion on it at this point in time. A ton of ability, a ton of natural athleticism and gifts. But for whatever reason, and Leroy and Gary, I'm sure you've seen enough players like this through the years, guys that have all these physical gifts, but for whatever reason, it doesn't always translate to production on the field. And that was kind of the story with Gary at Michigan. And if that's the case against, you know, tackles from Maryland and Northwestern, I'm not sure how he's going to get it done week in and week out against the Vikings and the Bears.
He is Rob Reichel of Forbes and BobMcGinnFootball.com. Follow his great series leading up to training camp at Forbes.com. Thanks so much for coming on, Rob.
Thanks, Robbie.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you guys soon.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Rob Reichel on the Great Midwest Bank Highline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.